Would to God that all of God's children had the experience that we've had this morning. To not just come out for a little while, but to become expectant to meet the Lord in His courts and to meet Him.
Amen.
To feel His presence, to feel His power as it goes throughout our congregation. That we would be not only lifted up and cheered, but that it would remind us all over again of who He is and how good He is, how merciful He is to His people. Again, on behalf of Bethel Church, as well as Stratton and St. Dawes Church, I'd like to welcome you to the South Texas Camp Meeting. I don't know what to say other than you're going to have to get close. It's going to be close fellowship, and it's going to get closer. So just get ready for it. But we're very thankful for your presence. Thankful that you're here. But most of all, we're thankful that our husband has seen fit to come and dwell with us for a little while.
Amen.
Lord willing, the arrangements this morning is we're going to have Brother Alec Cook come first. He is a brother that I personally got to watch grow up in Georgia. And very much looking forward to hearing him. I've heard a lot of good reports of coming out of Georgia, and he's been set at liberty by his home church, at Bay Springs Church there in Montrose. He's going to be followed by his pastor, Elder Michael Hadaway. And both of them, if they're first time here at a camp meeting, ask you to pray for them. And they're going to be followed by somebody who, it's not his first time at a camp meeting, it's Elder Mike Montgomery. So you pray for the rest of us, because Brother Mike's going to preach this morning. We love you, Brother Mike.
I know.
But whether it's somebody's first time or they've been here all their life, it takes the power of the Lord for each and every man to stand and proclaim upon the hill of Zion and the wall of Zion the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. So you pray this morning that all that is said and done would be to God's honor and glory, and that we as His people would be built up in our most holy faith. This time we're going to ask Elder Ricky Myers, if you would, to lead us to the throne of grace, and after that, ask you to pray for his brethren to come forth. Brother Ricky.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for the blessed opportunity to be at the camp meeting. Father, it is my first time. And Father, what a great experience it has been. How my heart, my soul, has been lifted up by the singing that's taken place and for the preaching that's gone before us. Father, I pray this morning that we've come to see Jesus. Father, we've come to see Him high and lifted up. And Father, proclaimed to us last night, we see Him as our King. Oh, Father, we pray that You'll bless these men this morning, that You'll lift them up above themselves, that they may preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Father, I pray that each and every person that's in this sanctuary this morning realize that we're all monuments of God's grace and mercy. Mm-hmm. Brother Mark Rattle preached last month and talked about the tribulation trials that we go through. I was reflecting what I endured. The Lord, as Brother Sonny Huckabee told me a little while ago, Your grace is sufficient. And Father, we realize that we are here today because of Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. Not just Brother Sonny, myself, Lord, every single person that's in this building. Father, we pray that You be in our country. You will be in our leaders. And Father, we know that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. Father, I do believe Thy word. And I do believe 2 Chronicles 7:14 that my people who have called behind it will love themselves in faith and seek My face. Father, it's contingent upon us being obedient. Father, we pray that I have to leave to go home.
for annual meeting, the Bible Church, that you have blessed me with safety. And Lord, I pray for myself. I pray for everyone that's in this congregation. Father, may we be found walking closer to Thee each and every day of our lives. But Lord, we know in our hearts, Lord, we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Lord, go with us, use this service. Lead, guide, guard, and direct us all the days of our life. And may we be found worshiping at your feet. And forgive us where we fell to be. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Very thankful to be here this weekend. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. My wife and I, we came to Texas to make sure Brother Michael didn't get into trouble. His wife didn't come, so we had to volunteer. It has been a pretty easy task, thankfully. If you have your Bible, I'd like to turn to the very first book, the very first chapter of the book, of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1. I pray I don't bring anything really new to you. If I do, I might not be invited back. But in Genesis chapter 1, the very first day of creation, the very first verse of this Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." A handful of years ago, my wife Eric and I were trying to. We decided when we first got married that we were going to try to read the Bible together. And then we found out very quickly that her brain and my brain don't mesh very well. And she said, "We're going to read the first 5 chapters." Well, I started and I got to these 5 verses, and I said, "All right, that's it. Let's." And I got very distracted very easily with these 5 verses, and she left me in the dust. And we never really picked it up again. Just for a little while. I want to look at this first day of creation, because it's a beautiful, beautiful picture of what God has done for us. Verse 2 says the earth was without form. Means that it was waste, it was desolate and void, completely empty of anything, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Didn't matter how high you went on the earth, there was darkness. Didn't matter how low in the earth you went, there was darkness. Job, God, that's exactly what we are by nature. In our sin-depraved state, that's exactly what we are. We are without form, void, and darkness upon the face of everything about us.
Amen.
But I'm very thankful for this very next verse. It says, "And God..." Well, before we get to that verse, hold on. It says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water."
Yeah.
Child of God, you guys are here right now. You guys are here right now. Because God has moved upon the waters of your heart.
Amen.
Given you something, made you different than what you were.
Amen.
And He said, "Let there be light to you personally." And what? Light.
Amen. Amen.
That's as simple as it gets.
That's right.
I don't read the earth responding to the Lord saying, "I don't know if I really want this."
Yeah.
I don't read the earth saying, Lord, will you please give me some light. I don't read any of that. All I read is the Lord said, and it happened.
That's right.
That is as simple as it gets. In John chapter 5 and verse 25, read, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they which are, well,
I check him out too.
I don't want to.
I warned you about that.
John chapter 5 and verse 25. I will. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear might live.
No.
We'll have the opportunity to live. No, it says, shall live.
Amen.
That is as simple as it gets. There is no rebuttal from us. There is no conversation that we have with God. It just happens.
Right.
That is the power of the Almighty God that He has and displays to us on a personal level. He gives us a light.
Yeah.
And that light is good. That light is very good. There's a light inside of you. There's a light inside of me. In Matthew chapter 5, we read Jesus Christ saying, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men that light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16 is what I was really after. This is for me. I need this verse probably more than you guys do. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify not you, but your Father which is in heaven, the same one that gave you that light that's inside of you. This place right here is one of the best places that we can go to rekindle our flame.
Amen.
It's one of the best places to be lifted up from this world that's so full of darkness. That we can let our light shine. God has done it so very, very much for me, and I know He's done it for you. He just loves you so much. He loves me so much. He loves His children so much. All of this, regeneration is just a beautiful. There are so many things. It's called in other places a quickening, being made alive. It's called a resurrection. There's so many things, and I'm longing for that day when Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's going to part the skies. He's going to come with a shout. I don't know what they're going to say, but we'll all hear it. We all know who it is and who's coming, and we're going to be changed.
Amen.
We're going to put off this corruptible and put on incorruption. And when we get to heaven with our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ, there our light will shine brighter than it ever has here on this side of glory.
Yeah.
And I am longing for that day. And as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, when he's talking about the resurrection, he ends that chapter 4, says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words of the resurrection. Child of God, as sure as God has regenerated you, that's as sure as He's coming back someday to gather you home to be with Him forevermore. You can be comforted in the regeneration. You can be comforted in the resurrection of your bodies some sweet day.
Amen. We certainly have enjoyed our time being here with you this weekend. It's already been announced. It's our first time at this meeting. My first time in Texas. And I know a lot of you from Texas have a hard time to believe that somebody could actually never have visited Texas in 49 years.
It's true.
But we have thoroughly enjoyed our stay with you and the hospitality and the warmth that you have shown. Certainly have enjoyed the things that have thrown forth. Brother Alec and I were talking last night. I also watched Brother Alec grow up and had the blessing to be his pastor. And we were talking last night, and I said, you know, brother, I said, really and truly, I think we're safe tonight. And he said, well, I feel pretty sure that you're safe, Brother Michael. He said, because they won't start off the meeting with good preachers in a good way. That's just, wow, that's encouragement I give. I know that in a congregation this size, there are praying people, and I want you to know that I realize my need of the Lord and His help, and I trust that you will pray to that end this morning.
Amen.
I want to look at an account found in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, found in the 7th chapter of the Gospel according to John, where we'll begin today. This is, and I'm just after a phrase found later in this chapter. Feast of Tabernacles is at hand, and the Lord Jesus Christ goes to the Feast of Tabernacles, and as He is speaking there, the Bible says that some believed Him and some did not. Some said that He was the Messiah, the Christ. Some said that He was the devil, had a devil. And in verse 32, when the Pharisees heard the people murmur such things, verse 31 is where it says many people believed on Him. Pharisees heard these things, they murmured such things concerning Him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take Him. The Pharisees are sending their officers to go apprehend the Lord of glory. And so they go, and they hear Him speak, and they leave. And when they, the officers, get back to the men that sent them, the Pharisees said, where is He? Why haven't you brought Him? And the phrase that I'm after this morning, if the Lord would be with us, is in verse 46, and the officers answered, never man say.
Yeah.
Like this man. This is a unique man.
Amen.
Never man spake. This was the God man.
Amen.
He was not only the Son of Man, but He was the Son of God, and not only the Son of God, but God the Son. Yep. A lot of people in this world believe He was the Son of God, but don't believe He was God the Son. He's both.
Amen.
Never man spake like this man. And you know, he showed that from a very early age. In fact, that his very first encounter in Jerusalem, when he went there in Luke chapter 2, you remember the story, the account there where his parents actually ended up leaving him there in Jerusalem. And they return and they find him having a conversation with the doctors in Luke 2. And it says that verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they went 1 day journey. It took them 3 days to find Him. You know, there's a lesson there for us. When you and I stray, it takes a long time. It takes a lot longer sometimes to get back than it does to get away.
Amen.
That's my
Amen.
Story. It came to pass that after 3 days, they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard Him were astonished. He's 12 years old.
Yeah.
And all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers.
Yeah.
The way I read this, when I read this in my mind, I see a group of preachers sitting around and talking, and they're discussing Scripture. And on this occasion, the Lord of glory shows up on the scene, and He is talking with these men and answering their questions, and they have no idea that they are talking with the one who wrote the book.
Amen.
And it says they're astonished, they're amazed at his understanding and his answers. You see, even at the young age of 12, never man spake like this man, a special boy. In Luke chapter 4, we read after his baptism, he comes back and he stands up in the temple and synagogue, and there's delivered to him a book, and he reads that wonderful passage from Isaiah 61, where he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me."
Right.
He's reading about himself.
Right.
"He has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." To preach deliverance to the captives. The recovering of sight to the blind and set at liberty to them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And it says he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wonder at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Mm. There was something special about the way this man spoke. Never a man spoke like this man.
Amen.
Later on in that chapter, he goes on and it says that he returns. He goes to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And it says that they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power.
Yeah.
And not as the scribes. There was something different about the way this man had talked. Never man spake like this man. His word came forth with power. I'm reminded of a text, one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, about verse 4 or 5. The King Solomon writes, "Where the word of a king is, there's power."
Amen.
Solomon knew that as a boy growing up, as he was the son of a king. He knew that when his daddy spoke, there was authority behind that word.
Yeah.
I knew that growing up. When Brother Virgil Hathaway spoke, there was authority behind those words. And it would be good to listen. But Daddy wasn't a king. And then Solomon later became a king. He knew what it was like firsthand to be a king. And he knew that when he spoke, whatever he spoke better happen. And you and I are here to serve the King of Kings.
Amen.
And never man spake like him.
Amen.
And when where the word of a king is, there is power. Not as men.
Right.
That's true in his early life. All throughout we find that phrase being brought up about where he speaks. He garnished people's attention. But that's also true in salvation. Aren't you glad this morning that where the word of the king is, there's power? Brother Alec already quoted to us from John 5 where it says, "The hour is coming," and I love this next phrase, "and now is." Do you know what that means in Greek? That means it's happening right now. It's going on right now. The hour is coming. It's going to continue to come, but it's now. When the dead, those that can't hear by nature, they're hearing a voice with power. They're hearing the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear it shall live. Never man spake like this man. There are three stories, and you remember all of them, where the Lord Jesus Christ went literally to the dead. There's the story of Lazarus, and the story of the widow's son, Nain, and Jay Iverson's daughter. I want us to know this real quickly. Some commonalities about all of them. And every one of those stories, Jesus Christ went personally.
Amen.
He didn't send the disciples. He didn't send the legalizers, the Judaizers. He didn't send the apostles. Jesus Christ went personally. And when he went to the dead, he spoke directly. And what he spoke was an imperative command.
Amen.
Lazarus, come forth. Not Lazarus, if. Lazarus, come forth. And I love that next phrase in John 11. It says, and he that was dead came forth. You know what Lazarus did? He did exactly what the voice of the Son of God told him to do. You never man spake like this. Where the word of the King is, there's power. That's true not only in regeneration, as Brother Alec has preached to us this morning. That's also true in redemption. In John chapter 19, we have that horrible scene that is spelt out very graphically. I'm glad for that. Some folks say, well, let's not talk so much about the blood and the gore of the cross. And child of God, you and I need to be reminded what our Lord did.
Amen.
How they spit on him. How they pulled out his beard. How they beat him. Put a crown of thorns on him. And you know what? This is a wonderful thing. I just realized just yesterday as I was being reminded about these things. I believe the power of the Lord Jesus Christ was demonstrated where Pilate demanded an answer of him, and he didn't say anything. Never man spake like this man. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ could have spoke one word and shut that thing down right there.
Amen.
I think we see a huge display of his power in saying nothing.
Amen.
How many of you and I, if you knew you were innocent, how many of you and I would say nothing?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, fellas, you got this all mixed up. I was with Brother Philip. Jesus Christ, the only innocent man, nothing.
Yeah.
And then they took him after they beat him, and they nailed him to a cross. And we know there's a handful of things that he said there, but the very last thing that he said, cried out with a loud voice, It is finished. What was finished? If Jesus said, it is finished, what was finished? I'll tell you what was finished. What was finished was the work that God the Father gave him to do in saving you and I from our sins and redemption. Now, he is the only one that can say that. Now, I can proclaim it. I can tell you what he said. But I can't finish the job because you know why? He already said it was done.
Amen.
Never man spake like this man. Where the word of the King is, there is power. And if he said it is finished, child of God, you and I can mark it down and rejoice.
Amen.
It is finished.
Amen.
That's true in regeneration. It's true in redemption. And it's going to be true in the resurrection. Now, Brother Alex quoted from us from Thessalonians chapter 4. Well, before I go there, you know where I'm going, but before I go there, in John chapter 5, a few verses down from where we just read, in verse 28, he said, marvel not at this. Don't be astounded at the power of this man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth, some to the resurrection of life and some to the damnation of destruction. I didn't get that quite right, but that's what he's saying there. All shall hear that on that day when he comes back. Aren't you glad to know he's coming back?
Amen.
That's a wonderful blessing that you and I have, to know that he's coming back. Thessalonians chapter 4 says the Lord himself, that's another time he's not going to send somebody else to do this job. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know how we know that? How can you and I be so sure? Because never a man spake like this man. And where the word of this king is, there is power. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that he's going to take us and present us to the Father, and he's going to say, Father, behold I, and most of the children that I have given you. Behold I and all the children that would accept me, or all the children that would believe. No, he says, behold I and the children. And Hebrews chapter 2 doesn't say all in there, but it's implied. Behold I, and I don't think I'm doing any irreverence to the scripture when I say all the children that the Father has given to me. How many is he going to lose in John chapter 6? Nothing. Not one. That's wonderful news, isn't it? Never man spake like this man in our salvation. Never man spake that like this man when he walked on this earth. I want to draw my remarks to a close this morning. The men said, never man spake like this man. I want to submit to you this morning, this man, Christ Jesus, still speaks today.
Amen.
I read one time where he got in a ship with his disciples and going across the sea, and they got into a storm of storms. Where's Jesus? Asleep. How many of us in this congregation have ever found ourselves asleep? In the middle of a storm, and it seems like the Lord is asleep. Where was Jesus? He was right there where he ought to be. Jesus is always where he's supposed to be.
Amen.
And he got up and he rebuked his disciples, and then he turned to that storm.
Yeah.
And he said, peace, be still.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what happened?
Yeah.
That storm did exactly what Jesus told him.
Amen.
Right.
It got still. I taught middle school for 18 years. And there are some times in my classroom where I could just say, peace. Be still. And it worked out effectively, but it don't work out effectively. But never man spake like this man. Here's my point about that, child of God. When you and I find ourselves in the storms of this life, brother sir, and the waves are twisting, and the wind is crashing. I guess the waves crash and the winds twist. And it seems like we are fixing the. They were overwhelmed. They cried out, this is it. We're goners. Jesus Christ can speak. If he don't speak to the storm, he can speak to your soul.
Amen.
And you know there's a such thing as a still in the storm.
Amen.
When this man speaks.
Yeah.
the next story that we find is where Jesus goes into the land of Gennesaret and he comes across a man, a wild Gadarene, who called him. You go back and read that description of that man. And the Lord Jesus Christ said that, or the Bible says, when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ, that legion of devils begged the Lord Jesus Christ to give them leave. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke one word. Go.
Yep.
That's amazing to me that even the Lord Jesus Christ would grant that request, but he did. He said one word, go. I taught with a good friend of mine. I graduated college with him, and we ended up teaching at the same middle school. And at the middle school where we were, we had the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. We would dismiss out the back of the hall every day, all three grade levels, and go around to the bus ramp on that side of the school. And he was a religious-minded man. We didn't agree with everything and everything that we talked about, but he said one day we were walking out, and the whole school was walking to the bus ramp. He said, "Hadaway, you remember that time in the Bible where Jesus spoke to the legion of devils and said, go?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah." And I was trying to figure out what he was going for. He said, "Look." He said, "Go." Here's my point about that. Satan and the powers of darkness are just as strong today.
Yeah.
And they are just as much at work in our children's lives as ever.
Amen. Right.
Let me tell you about one who can say, go.
Yeah.
I don't know what demons you're facing, if I can put it that way. I don't know what ills that come across your way. But I'm telling you this. Never man's faith like this.
Amen.
When the power, when the word of a king is, there is power still today in the lives of his people today. I'll close with this one. It's probably my favorite one. You remember when on the first day of the week, on the resurrection morning, when they came and, of course, the Lord had risen. And the account there when Mary came and she thought she was talking to the gardener. And she said, "Just tell me where you put him. Just tell me." She was all distraught. She was all torn up. I could just see her in my mind's eye. She was troubled. Probably like she had never been troubled before, because this man had done more for Mary than anybody else in her life had ever done for her.
Amen.
Or could do for her. And she knew it. And he was gone. And she didn't know what to do. And in this time of utter distraught, Jesus said one word. Everywhere. Me. She knew who she was talking to. Let me tell you about one. In the times of our trouble and despair and extreme anxiety, can say, "Michael." Reveal himself to you and I. Never man speak like this man. Blessed be his wonderful name today.
Amen.